All right.
So last week, I preached a message titled Jonathan the Fighter. Amen. And thank you. Went home and went back to Colossians and put that sermon together. Went to take a poll of my family. Said, what do you think, Colossians or Jonathan? Hey, you know, both of them are talking about Jesus. Okay, both of them. So, but what I thought I would do to give me more time to prep for Colossians chapter 2 would be to bring you another message in this series out of, you know, gee, amen, amen. But you know, variety is the spice of life, and we live in a world where the Holy Spirit comes into your sermon series and says, "I'm going to do this," and when I do this, everyone going to say, "Oh." So just follow the Spirit and do, amen. So God knows, I'm not offended, you know. Amen. I'm just having fun, y'all. Sometimes when you go back and you look at your sermon notes from 10 years ago, you look at the notes and say, did I write that? And the Holy Ghost say, mm-mm. I said, okay, now, okay, thank you. Because it doesn't seem like it was any, I don't even remember putting this together. But anyhow, I think there's a lot to learn from any place in the Bible when we look at characters. And God the Holy Spirit, you know, had them pen these words for a reason, and they have application to us. And so I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 18 and look at Jonathan the friend as I see it. Verse 1 starts, now when he had finished speaking to Saul, context is David has just finished killing Goliath, took Goliath's sword, chopped off Goliath's head, took it to Saul, king of Israel, who was cowering with the rest of the men of Israel when Goliath was out there taunting everybody for 40 days, right? And so the scripture says, now when he, David, had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. We're talking about friendship. Okay, we're talking about, and you know, when you talk about friendship, sometimes it makes me wonder if we know that, we say that there's, that we, sometimes we say about marriages, that was a match made in heaven. Okay, well, marriages aren't the only thing made in heaven. I believe friendships are made in heaven. Why do I say that? Because not everybody you meet, you friends with. Hello? And not only that, but not every friend you have is on the same level. There's not the same level of connection that you have with everybody. That God allows people in your life. And you know, when we recognize that, it can be very beneficial. When we don't recognize it, it can be, whew. Here, Jonathan, his soul was knit to David. And the scripture says, Jonathan loved him as his own soul. The word soul refers to the inner life of man, the seat of his emotions, and the center of human personality, Nelson's Bible Dictionary tells us. Jonathan's soul was knit to David's soul. Why? Like I said last week, I believe Jonathan saw something of himself in David. To love a friend is, to love a friend, one must first love himself. And I believe Jonathan saw something of himself in David. I said last week that before David had ever killed Goliath or ever thought about killing a Philistine, Jonathan had been killing Philistines on the regular. Jonathan was a warrior. That was Jonathan the Fighter. That's the sermon we looked at last week. I see that this quote was given or attributed to Isabel Norton that said, in a friend, you find a second self. In a friend, you find a second self. Why is that? Because, as I said last week, in order to be a friend, there, you have to have something in common. There has, this person likes what I like. They hate what I hate. Amen. Abraham was called the friend of God. Amen. And so in order to be a friend of God, you have to like what he likes. You have to hate evil, you know. And so we know that. So when this quote from, and this is not a Christian person, this is just someone speaking about friendship, that in a friend, you find a second self. So we find in Jonathan and David, in particular, as Jonathan, as a young man, Jonathan attacked the Philistines at a time of national crisis. And David had just done the same thing in attacking Goliath. And when Jonathan saw that, now you have to remember, David was brought into the palace when Saul was bothered by this evil spirit. David was a musician. They found a musician. He would play. His soul wasn't knit to David when he was walking around the palace playing for his father. It was after David killed that Philistine that something Jonathan said, hey, that man right there, that's my boy. That's my boy right there. I feel what he feels. I know what that's like. You see what I'm saying? And so his heart, his soul was knit. Both of them, David, Jonathan called the Philistines uncircumcised. He said to his armor bearer, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. And then when David comes on the scene at the army, he says, what shall be done for the person who kills this uncircumcised Philistine? They both used the same words. They both also took courage in the covenant of their God, not a prophecy. Nothing wrong with prophecies. Get a prophecy. You get a word from God. Hold on to it. Believe God on and on. But let me tell you right here, this is the covenant. They had a covenant. They had a covenant. That's why they called them uncircumcised. You see? So they were leaning on the covenant that God had cut with them. The Abrahamic covenant in particular. And so God worked a significant miracle through both Jonathan and David against the Philistines. So we began to see why Jonathan's soul would be knit to David. Friendship involves many things, but above all the power of going outside oneself. But above all, the power of going outside of oneself and appreciating what is noble and loving in another. Let me read that again, because the way they had it punctuated is hard to see. Friendship involves many things, but above all, the power of going outside oneself and appreciating what is noble and loving in another. Thomas Huxley said, this was the heart of Jonathan toward David. Okay. In a way, David had no choice than to be Jonathan's friend. Why? Because the scripture says right here that Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And you know what? It's hard to turn away love. It's hard to turn away love. And when someone is seeking to be your friend and they love you, the Bible says, and we notice how, as we read the scripture, how things are flowing from Jonathan to David. It said that Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And as we read the scripture, it's Jonathan who takes off his armor and gives it to David. And they cut a covenant together. But we'll see, because Jonathan represents Jesus. See, it was Jonathan who came to David, and it was Jesus who came to us. It was Jonathan who loved David as his own soul, and it was Jesus who loved us. He says, no greater love than this that a man can have than to lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did for us. So Jonathan won David's heart with love. Jesus won our hearts with love. Jonathan initiated this friendship. It didn't say, remember, the scripture says the soul of Jonathan was knit to David. Not that David didn't have anything to give, because in a friendship, it goes both ways. But the impetus was from Jonathan, okay? And so we remember that as we look at Jonathan here in the scripture, we're looking at a picture of Jesus. Because it was his love, Jonathan's love for David, that changed and potentially saved David's life. And this was before David ever got to the throne. He had been anointed king, but God had brought someone into his life from being anointed king to actually being in the throne and sitting in the throne. God had a person in his life. God does the same things today in our lives. He puts people in your life for seasons and times. And as you're walking, they'll be there for a moment, and then sometimes they'll be taken away. You say, well, Lord, what happened to that? And you just, I have that type of relationship with Melody's uncle. Him and I, very, very tight. When I first came to Jesus, he was there in my life, and him and I, and some other brothers, we would go and sit down and sit in the car for 8 hours and talk about Jesus. All we talked about was Jesus. And then we'd get up and we'd go down to Georgetown and we'd preach the gospel for however many hours, sing, preach on the street, see people saved, get on the subway, come back home, and we just hang out. And single was not lonely. You hear me? Single was not lonely. Hello. You know why? Because of friends. Because of friends. All right. I don't know where I got this one quote from, but it's called Be a Friend. Listen now. Be a friend. This is how it reads. I went out to find a friend, but could not find one there. I went out to be a friend, and friends were everywhere. Listen, let me read it again. I went out to find a friend, but could not find one there. I went out to be a friend, and friends were everywhere. Woo! I just have to let you. I think it's Proverbs 24:24 that says, he who has friends must himself be friendly. That's very simple, right? We think, well, that's very simple. Why wouldn't we get that? Well, God wrote it for a reason. Apparently, we don't get it. Hello. And so what was so unique about Jonathan? What was so unique about him? Jonathan loved David as he loved himself. Jonathan loved David as he loved himself. He did all of this without repayment during his lifetime, essentially without repayment. If we love people the way we love ourselves, we will never lack for friends. If we love people the way we love ourselves, we will never lack for friends. Leviticus 19:18. The scripture says, Jesus quoted in the New Testament, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And we see this over and over again in the Old Testament repeated. Leviticus 19:34, the Lord says, the strangers who dwell among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. Huh? The strangers. You shall love them as yourself. That could speak to our immigrant situation in our nation, in our own nation. It has input. It has impetus if we could hear that we got to treat the stranger the way we would want to be treated. Hello? That could answer many problems that we have in our own nation if we can only hear. Matthew 19:19, Jesus said, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 13:9. Paul talks about for the commandments, you should not commit adultery, you should not murder, you should not steal, you should not bear false witness, you should not covet. And if there's any other commandment, they're all summed up namely you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Remember, the Bible says Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Okay? Loving him as he loved himself. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you'll never talk about your neighbor. You'll never say one bad thing about your neighbor. You'll never work ill toward your neighbor. You'll never cheat, steal, in any way hurt your neighbor, because the law is fulfilled in this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. James 2:8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. And so as I'm reading this, I have to ask, you know, as I'm reading that, the question keeps coming back to me, and the Holy Spirit keeps taking me into my life and person to person and person to person. Do you love them? Do you really love them? By how I'm treating them? By what I say to them? By what I say about them? And so that, so the water of the word is washing my own spirit as I'm reading the word of God. That word comes back and tries me. Amen. And so Jonathan loved David. That's verse one. What's interesting is verse two. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Now, Jonathan loved him, but Saul took him. Saul took David not because he wanted to be his friend. David was a young man. Saul took David because of what David could do for him. Jonathan loved David because of what Jonathan could do for him. See, in other words, Jonathan wanted to give himself. Why? Because love gives. Love gives. And Jonathan, if you read the whole story, Jonathan gave it all. He emptied himself. Does that remind us of anything? Philippians 2? He emptied himself. The one who would be king emptied himself, gave up the throne. Does that sound like anybody? He gave up the throne so that David could ascend. That's just like our Lord Jesus Christ, whom Paul said, though he was rich, though he was king, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Jonathan, though he was rich, heir to the throne, humbled himself and gave up his throne, gave up being king, so that David could ascend to that spot. Talk about a friend. I don't really know I've ever met a friend like that. I really, except Jesus. Come on. Jesus did it all. Jesus went where Jonathan was only a type and a shadow. Jesus was the substance of it. Amen? So, we see here in verse 2, Saul took him that day and wouldn't let him go home to his father's house. Saul restricted David's movements for his own sake. But here's what we know. Friends don't restrict each other. They don't put parameters on each other and say, this is this little box. You can't go outside of here. Friends liberate. Friends liberate each other. Friends do what Jonathan said to David. When David came to Jonathan, he was scared to death. He says, there's but a step between me and death. David said, Jonathan, your father, he almost got me the other day. He's going to get me. Jonathan said this. He says, you will not die. Why don't you have a friend like that? You're not going to die. You're going to be king of Israel, and my father knows it. That's what Jonathan told him. Hello. He didn't restrict David. And if anyone had reason to restrict David or see to his demise, it was Jonathan. It was Jonathan. But he didn't restrict David. He liberated him. He expanded his thinking and his belief in God. We see also in this that God did the same thing to Israel over the years. He came to Israel and he befriended Israel. And he sought to do it through the covenants, through the covenant of Abraham's and other covenants. God wanted to be their friend. They wouldn't have it. Let me say this. Friends aren't jealous of friends. Can I say it again? Friends are not jealous of friends. Jonathan was not jealous of David, which is, if we put it into today's vernacular, it would be, I mean, I don't know if there's not a perfect comparison out in the world, but Saul quickly became jealous of David. And we know Saul was not David's friend. But Jonathan was the one who was in the position. If anyone would have had any reason to be jealous, and one would think justified in their jealousy, it would have been David. But David did not. He wasn't jealous of Jonathan. It would have been Jonathan. Jonathan was not jealous of David. He did not seek to pull him down. If anything, Jonathan got up under David and lifted him up. That's a friend. Jonathan loved David because of who he was and sought to do him good. Saul wanted David with him because what David had done. Saul did not want David with him because of who David was. He wanted what you could do for me. Uh-huh. What have you done for me lately? Remember that song? That's why Saul wanted David with him. So there was... Jonathan wanted what was best for David. There was absolutely no selfish motive on Jonathan's part in his friendship with David. And if we had time, we would go into, because as I began to look over the scriptures, there's so much detail with this. Jonathan, there was no selfish motive on Jonathan's part in his friendship with David. Not only that, but Jonathan risked his life for his friend. Because Saul at one point was sitting in the house and he got mad with his own son and he picked up a spear and he cast it at his own son to kill him. Why? Because Jonathan was defending David and his own father wanted to kill him. Friendship's gonna cost you something. Hello? Make no mistake about it, no friendship is free. It's gonna cost you to associate with someone, with anyone. Amen? We'll get to that later. But Jesus said in John 6:26, Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs." Now remember, the signs that Jesus did pointed to who he was. He says, and what he's saying is, you're not seeking me because of who I am. He says, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. We have to watch it. Why sometimes we want to be with the friends that we want to be with? Because sometimes we want to be with the friends because of what they can do for us. Amen. The Bible says that the rich man has many friends, but the poor person can't find a friend. Hello? Can't find a friend. And so Jesus called people out. He says, you're not seeking me because of who I am. You're seeking me because of what I can do for you. And we have to let the word of God discern our own motivations and the intents of the heart. That's what Hebrews 4:16 says, that the word of God is quick, powerful, sharp, and edged. It is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And he will come to you and lay bare your own heart and let you see. And you'll be sitting there, oh God, forgive me, help me, Jesus, cleanse me. Yes, that's the Holy Ghost that you got filled with yesterday or Friday night. That's the same Holy Spirit. He will do that. He'll get all up in your business and represent Christ and bring himself in full. Thank God. Thank God. Because if he didn't, we'd never get anywhere. Come on. We'd never be sanctified. We'd be in the same funk we were in the day he found us. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Mark chapter 10, we see it again in the New Testament, people seeking their own. Mark chapter 10, verse 35, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Man, I read that. See, when I read the scripture, I'm not after, what gets me is not what they did. What gets me is what I've done. Come on. Because we're reading about us on the pages of Scripture. So we can never say, oh, look how bad they were. No, I'm looking at, oh, God, what have I asked for in my own selfishness from you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. But they come to him, and he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? Never mind what he needed. What he needed from them. Now, remember, this is James and John. They asked him for something. But not too long after that, Jesus would go into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he took Peter, James, and John. And he said, my soul is very sorrowful. He says, watch and pray with me, which means stay awake and pray. He asked for something. Did he get it? No, he didn't get it. He said, just stay awake and watch with me. I'm going through a really bad time. He took his three closest friends. He said, pray with me. What did they do? The hardest moment of his life, he asked for his friends to pray with me. They couldn't pray with him. But they wanted back here and said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you to do. Hello? Hello? Dale Carnegie, everyone know the Carnegie School of Business, Dale Carnegie. He said years ago, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. Let me read that again. You can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. what's interesting about that is that Dale Carnegie has a school of a sales school where they train people to do sales. And I don't know if it's in that school where this originated, but I do know that that sales people are taught these procedures, whatever you want to say. And one of the things that they're taught is this: when you're selling to someone, when they say no, it doesn't mean no. Because I deal with these people all the time. When they say no, it doesn't mean no. What it means is you need to rephrase the pitch. Okay. Now, when somebody's trying to sell you something and you know you don't want it, that gets up under your skin. And when they, because I just had someone call me the other day and said, hey, Mr. Fauntleroy, how you doing? And I said, oh, here we go. Whenever they say, how you doing? It's a great day. How you doing? I'm like, I'm doing okay. How you doing? Hey, look, I'm 54 years old. I ain't hiding it. I'm too old. I'm too old. I've been down this road too many times. And I'm sitting up there and Mr. Fauntleroy, this is the reason why we're calling. The woman called me the other day. I told my wife when I got home, she called me. I'm on the road working. She talked for 3 minutes. I was on my cell phone. I timed it. She talked for 3 minutes. She was trying to sell advertising. And after 3 minutes, I let her talk because I'm driving down the road. I let her talk. And I said, when she got done, I said, I don't advertise. And she said, well, why did you let me go on? Why did you let me say all that? I said, ma'am, you never took a breath. Okay? You never took a breath. You never allowed me. You never asked me. You never asked me. You just went with your pitch. Least she, and when I said that, it took her aback. She paused, and at least she said, well, okay, thank you. You have a great day. I said, thank you, and we hung up. But on the other ones, I've heard people, and this is more what I get more times than not, they rephrase the question. They do their pitch, and they say, would you like this? I said, no. And they go, well, Mr. Fauntleroy. And I say, okay, see, you ain't listening to me. Now I'm starting to get, because my time is important, and you're wasting my time. And now I'm going to have to be a little bit more fun. Want to be nice. See, be like, see, I told you before, no. And that's what I mean now. Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, that's right. So anyhow, my point is this, if they would show, if we're taught, when I go into a home, I'm interested in the customer. I'm not interested in telling you how great I am. Why? Because that's trying to get you interested in me. I want to be interested in you. I want to meet your need. I want to do you a great job. And when I do all that for you, you're going to feel like, boy, I really got my money's worth. I really feel good about this company. I think I'm going to call them back. That's how I like to do business. You know, not this other way of that no means yes. Or rephrase the question. Okay. Friends desire you for who you are, not for what you've done or can do for them. A friend loves you for who you are on the inside. So in verse 3, the scripture reads, then Jonathan made a covenant. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Now, it says Jonathan and David made a covenant, but who was first? Jonathan. Why? Because Jonathan loved him. So the impetus is all coming from Jonathan. Jonathan is pushing all of this. That's why I see Christ. Christ is this. Jonathan is a picture of Christ coming to us and loving us and bringing us into covenant with himself. Okay? That was both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. He's always seeking to bring the ones that he loved into covenant with himself, right? And so what do we find from this? We find this. Friends hold friends accountable. Oh, we're getting a hold on. We're getting deep now. You were having fun before, Pastor, but this is getting a little, I'm getting a little uncomfortable. No, friends hold friends accountable. Okay. Jonathan made a binding agreement, a contract, or a compact with David. And they did so because they loved one another. Just as God brought man into a covenant in the garden because he loved him. Jonathan brought David into a covenant just as Jonathan brought David into a covenant. So Christ brings us into a covenant. Why? Because of his great love for us. And so in 1 Corinthians 11:25, we see through the New Testament, as Paul said, after supper, Jesus took a cup and he said, this is the new covenant. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. And so he instituted, he brought them into covenant with himself. So we see Christ all throughout the Old Testament over into the New. Jesus said this in John the Apostle said this in 1 John 4. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And so the impetus and the initiation is all from God. Let me ask you this question as I ask myself this question. Who loves you enough to hold you accountable? And who do you love enough to hold them accountable? Hello? Amen. And it's hard because to be a friend, sometimes you got to get in one another's face. Hello. Amen. Proverbs 17:17 says a friend loves at all times, not only in the good times, but in the hard times. And faithful are the wounds of a friend. So when a friend finds out something unbecoming of his friend, he still loves him and is there for him. Hello? When a friend finds out something unbecoming of a friend, he still loves him and is there for him, but he's also will hold him accountable. I remember when we were on the eldership team, Melody probably doesn't know this, but we were on the eldership team, her parents, Daphne and myself, and the pastors, Andy and Rena of this church, and we would hold elders meetings. And one time there came a disagreement or something up in the elders' meeting, and Warren and I looked at each other, and I said, you know, brother, you and I need to step outside because we need to handle our business. And Warren jumped up, and I jumped up, and Pastor Kyle looked at us, and the ladies looked at us, and we marched on outside. We got down with it. We were out there. Yeah, and we was out there. We loved one another, but we was out there breaking it down. You know, and I'm saying, well, this, you know, would this need to be? And he's like, yeah, well, this need to be. And when we got done, we hugged each other and walked back into the house, finished the meeting, and went on about our business. Because friends can bring the hard stuff. I mean, if you can't hold your friend accountable, then the weight of what your friendship can hold is very limited. Hello. I always hear, don't drive a 10-ton truth across a 5-ton bridge. Amen. In other words, when you're trying to get something to somebody, if the level of friendship cannot stand the weight of about what you're about to communicate, you can't say anything. And so we need weighty friendships. Hello? And Jonathan and David, Jonathan and David had a friend. Let me tell you how powerful, let me tell you how deep and strong their friendship was. David said to Jonathan at one time, he says, listen, your father trying to kill me. He says, if I've done anything wrong, you kill me, Jonathan. Don't even wait for your daddy to do it. And David said that. You kill me. I was like, my goodness, David. Jonathan said, far be it from me. He says, no, David, that's not going to happen. My father's hand's not going to touch you. Jonathan was a friend indeed. And that's why I said last week, all of us need to be a friend like Jonathan and need to have a friend like Jonathan. Tell you what, you want a friend like that. You want a friend like that. And so, Jesus calls us friends. He calls us friends. Amen? And he knows everything about us. Weakness, the stink, the funk, and all. And he still loves us. And he still loves us. But he's going to hold us accountable. And he's not going to leave us where we are. He's not going to leave us where we are. He says, the master doesn't share everything with his servants, but with his friends he does. He said, I've called you friends. My. Job said in chapter 6, verse 14, to him who is afflicted, kindness should be shown by his friend. Job wasn't saying that from a positive standpoint. Job's friends were so bad that he said, listen, when you have a friend who's suffering, who's afflicted, said you ought to be nice to him, is what Job was saying. Kindness should be shown from his friend, but you boys aren't giving me anything, is what he was saying. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know, when you really need to be told, your breath stinks. Come on. When your breath stinks, you need a friend to tell you. You know what I'm saying? You don't need, like it happened to me one time. I was sitting there talking with somebody. You ever had this happen? You sit there talking with somebody, sharing, all of a sudden they do this. And you like, oh, dear. Make your way to the store. Y'all didn't get that one. Anyhow, let's go on. Oh, that one hurt. I understand. Too close to home. All right. Verse 4. I'm trying to get through this. Where are we at? 328. Okay. Verse 4. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. So Jonathan honored David in doing so. In the Middle East, or in the East, one commentary said, to receive any part of the dress which had been worn by a sovereign or his oldest son and heir is deemed in the East the highest honor which can be conferred on a subject. Jonathan was honoring David in a way. Here you have this rich prince who's honoring this poor pauper of a young man. And he takes off his armor, the prince's armor he gives. And so he's honoring him. Friends don't seek to take from, but to give to one another. Let me say that again. And when I say this, please don't think in terms of solely materially. Because we can oftentimes, when it comes to giving and getting, we always think of money and things and stuff. But Jonathan was giving David honor. That's what the armor and so forth represented, right? So Jonathan gave David that which set him apart for the throne of his father. Jonathan was completely vulnerable before David. He kept nothing between him and David. And so Jonathan gives him all of his armor, right? We see in that a picture of Ephesians chapter 6. Which the word of God says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. And so as Jonathan gave him his armor, his breastplate, the bow, the sword, all of this, so Christ gave us the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit. He unclothed, he stripped himself and gave what he had to us as a token of his love and his friendship. John 15:13, he said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And so Christ did that for us. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Jonathan gave David everything. He was basically saying to David, he said, this is my princely armor, David. I give it to you because one day you will be king and not me. Let me tell you something. Somebody walked in the Kim Dry Right today and started cleaning carpet just as good as me and went out and everyone was saying things that they were saying about me, better than me, about him. I'd be starting to look at him going, wait a second. I've been doing this 30 years. Wait, hold on. Whose business is this? You know, we've been getting... The previous owner of my business told me one day, because what I just named to you, what I just happened, except for I was the one. And the owner said to me, whose business is this? I said to myself, you need to answer that question. I'm working for you. I'm just cleaning carpet. But if you don't know whose business it is, that's your trouble, not mine. I'm just trying to honor God in what I do. Hey, is that right? So, I mentioned last week, Jesus gave us the robe. When Jonathan says he took off his robe and he gave it to David, Jesus gave us the robe of righteousness. Jesus gave it all. He held nothing back. And Jonathan did the same thing with regard to his the kingdom going to David. In 1 Samuel 23, I'm going to jump around a little bit here. Then Jonathan, 1 Samuel 23:16-17, then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods. This is when now Saul is chasing David all over the place. He's holed up in the woods. And it says that Saul's son arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. Here again, we see Jonathan, he's doing on the giving. Jonathan leaves where he is, and he goes to David in the woods. And he said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father knows that. Man. Friendships will cost you something. Friendships will cost you something. Jonathan is a prince. Where's he living? He's living in a castle. He's living in a high place. David's out there running around in the woods. And Jonathan left the high place, just like Jesus left glory. He left heaven. And he came down. Jonathan went down into that nasty old place in the woods where you had to subsist off the land and find what you could. Jonathan went and entered into that so that he could find David and encourage him. Christ came and he died for us in this mess that we messed up. Hello. It cost him. It cost Jonathan and it cost Christ. In his friendship with David, no distance was too far. No trip was too difficult. It reminds me of a few years ago, two or three years ago, Marilyn was here one day. I don't know if it was on a Tuesday or a Sunday. She said that a friend of her son, a friend of DJ's, called and was very discouraged, and the young man lived in Florida. And DJ was so moved that after he got off the phone with him, he hopped in his car and he drove to Florida just to pray with his friend and encourage him, got in his car and came back. I said, man, I said, whoa, boy, man alive. When she said that, I was shaking. I was like, wow, didn't that ask a friend? That's a friend. He displayed just a camaraderie and a want to be there for his friend and the willing to pay whatever cost in order to counsel and encourage his friends. Jonathan almost paid with his life. Jesus did pay with his life. for his friends. Jonathan prophesied that David would become king, just as Jesus' death made us kings and priests, Revelation 1:6. Friendships are not always perfectly balanced, though. There are times when one friend will give substantially more to the relationship than the other. And we see that in this case with Jonathan. We said, now, y'all don't use that as an excuse. Now, come on, give me. No, but we know that that is the case. It is definitely the case with us and Christ. Come on now, where all of it, every time I open up the book, I just say, Father, you just gave it all. Amen. And so, wow. Hebrews 2:9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. 1 Samuel 20 and verse 4, so Jonathan said to David, whatever you yourself desire, I will do it for you. We see that Jonathan's commitment to David as a friend was complete. He said, David, whatever you need from me, whatever you need, I'll do it for you. There wasn't anything Jonathan wouldn't do to keep David safe. Nothing. Proverbs 18:24. A man who has friends must show himself friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's Jesus. Amen. And let me close with these few quotes. E.C. McKenzie said, some people make enemies instead of friends because it is less trouble. Let me say that again. Some people make enemies instead of friends because it's less trouble. Hello? You don't have to go visit your enemy when they're sick and in bed. You don't have to drive to Florida when your enemy's hurting. You don't have to hold your enemy accountable. It doesn't cost you anything. Hello. An unknown quote, friendship doubles your joys and divides your sorrows. Think about it. Friendship doubles your joys and divides your sorrows. Albert Schweitzer said, sometimes our light goes out, but is blown into a flame by another human being. Woo! That is so true. Each of us owes deepest thanks to those who have rekindled this light. Another unknown quote, if all my friends were to jump off a bridge, I would not follow. I would be at the bottom to catch them when they fall. Of course, this is always the case with us and the Lord. Jonathan gave much more to David than David was able to reciprocate. Each and every time David came to Jonathan, he had a word of encouragement for David. My prayer for all of us is that we would, by the grace of God, be able to love and be a friend the way Jonathan was to David. Benjamin Franklin actually said, be slow in choosing a friend, slower in changing. Did you get that? Be slow in choosing a friend, slower in changing a friend. Old Russian proverb says, an old friend is better than two new ones. This one's attributed to George Washington. Associate yourself with men of good quality if you esteem your own reputation. For 'tis better to be alone than in bad company. And another quote, when we lose a friend, we die a little. That's now figuratively. You understand what I say? One other quote, if you really want to know who your friends are, just make a mistake. And the last one, Robert Louis Stevenson says, so long as we love, we serve. No man is useless while he is a friend. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth about friendship as it relates to Jonathan's relationship with David. And Father, we thank you for all that it mirrored concerning Christ and his friendship to us through the cross. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you as our friend, Lord, are molding and shaping us and teaching us what it really means to be a good friend to someone. And Father, we pray that all the truths that this teaching embodies, Lord, that we would see it mirrored in our life. For as we are loved by the greatest friend that could ever be, so we are changed by the love of that friend. And I pray that as we close, Lord, I pray that we could not only have a friend like Jonathan, but we could be a friend like Jonathan to others in our life. And we give you thanks for it and ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said amen. Amen and amen.